Hello, welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 76 on February 2nd, 2014. So, for all of you football fans out there, February 2nd, yes, I am recording this in the evening of Super Bowl day, right? So the game happened. I'm not a fan. I have no idea who won. I didn't watch it. I enjoyed a really nice quiet day at home. It was kind of drizzly, a little bit rainy where I live. And I did a lot of paperwork, a lot of catching up with emails and stuff. But let's just circle right on back to this Super Bowl thing. Something caught my eye in my Twitter feed that was being talked about amongst the people I follow on Twitter. And it was this thing that the Super Bowl tends to bring in a shitload of prostitutes and trafficked sex workers. And this has been used by politicians and local government officials wherever the game is being held. And I say used by because when you really dig into it, even though there's a whole lot of chatter about it, especially on the local networks, especially by any kind of news sources in the town where Super Bowl's being held, they're all talking about sex trafficking and about how it's one of the worst sex trafficking events of the year and that so many prostitutes and underage sex workers are transported to the site of where the Super Bowl is because, you know, a big sporting event like that that's attended mostly by men is the perfect place and it increases the demand for it and blah, blah, blah. Fear, basically. It seems to have stemmed from the increase in talking about prostitution as trafficking in order to really get people's heartstrings pulled because it's underage people who are usually girls who are sex trafficked, but boys too, absolutely. Now, does this happen? Absolutely. Does it happen on a large scale? Not nearly as large of a scale as they would like us to believe. And what would be really much more helpful in situations like this is to focus on the sex trafficking and put into effect not only laws to try and catch people like that and forces, investigations, things like that, but it would be really, really nice to have a lot of funding to help the victims. Because what ends up happening many times with the victims is they suffer as well. And not just the sex traffickers, but sex workers. Sex workers get caught up in the sweeps that the local governments are doing to try and make it look like they're doing everything they can to get sex worker, underage. They typically want to include all of these statistics in the sex trafficking. And if what we're really concerned about here is the victims, then this is the wrong way to go about it. And there's three article links that I'm going to post for you guys. One was in the Village Voice back 2012, February 2012. And the name of it is Super Bowl Prostitution Hoax. And then there is a website called Reason.com. And this was posted just on the 26th of January of this year. And it's called The Mythical Invasion of the Super Bowl. And then there's this lovely blogger named Maggie McNeil. And in her files, she has a PDF copy of a report that was done by the Global Alliance Against Traffic in Women. And again, I want to emphasize that boys are trafficked too. Girls are trafficked. So let's not ignore the men out there, the young boys and that kind of stuff. But the point is that the Global Alliance Against Traffic in Women actually considered this myth about the whole Super Bowl big sports event increase in trafficking thing to be of enough notoriety to actually write a report not substantiating about the lack of substantiation regarding this whole myth. And it's really quite elaborate and involved, answers all your questions about that whole subject. And last but not least, a link to the website The Wire. And this, the name of this article is Super Bowl Sex Trafficking Story Just Won't Die. So it really doesn't make any difference about all the crap that you see from whatever state the Super Bowl is being held in, from Fox News, from wherever, because that's a majority of the articles and the news reports that you're going to see. Why? Because it's fucking sensationalistic and it sells papers and it's exciting to talk about because it gets people's dander up and it sells, basically. But it's bullshit. So all you people that are going, oh my God, all the prostitutes that they're trucking in and, you know, for the Super Bowl is just like, it's awful. Many times what ends up happening in a couple of these different articles is that the local governments and things have all these task forces and all this organization, and they train people to try and recognize who might be a trafficked child, and they get one or two, maybe, sometimes not even one or two. More often, it's just the local prostitutes. It's not sex trafficking, which is defined as someone who is trafficked for sex against their will. And when I say just the local prostitutes, I mean the local sex workers who are doing it of their own volition. So they're usually swept up in the efforts to try and decrease the sex trafficking because there's really not that much sex trafficking. And it's just a big mess all the way around. Now, there's many of you out there that might be saying, well, hey, prostitution's illegal anyway. Oh, that's not going to continue for that much longer. I really believe that we are going to follow in the footsteps of more progressive countries and legalize sex workers. I think that's really the only smart way to go about the whole situation here, which is why I think that it is one of the lesser prosecuted crimes. Sex trafficking, absolutely. It's horrible, it's awful, and we should do something about it. But to finish that thought, many local governments spend so much money trying to organize and fight against the supposed invasion of sex trafficking pimps that truck in all of these people to take advantage of the big sporting events, namely the Super Bowl. And it's bullshit. And it costs the local governments lots of money, and it's not effective. And the few people that they do find, they try and combine with the statistics of the sweeps that get the local sex workers so that it sounds better, so that it sounds like something that's reasonable and that they're doing good. Some idiotic elected official down in Florida threw out a figure at some point in time, and you can find this idiotic thing that he said with numbers ranging anywhere from 10,000 to 100,000. And what he was doing was predicting how many sex trafficking incidents and how many prostitutes were going to be brought in to service the whole Super Bowl thing in Tampa, Florida. And it was never, ever substantiated. That was not a number that could ever be proven with any statistics anywhere. And yet it has persisted. So I'm not going to look up the name of the idiotic elected official because I think his name should go away. And so should all of these numbers because they're bullshit. All right. That particular rant is over. And I still find it really funny that at like 9:30 at night, I don't even know who won. That's how little I care about the Super Bowl. I hope all of you who really care about the Super Bowl out there had a lovely time. Lovely parties, your team won, all that cool stuff. All right, let's move along. This particular subject that I'm going to talk about next, I feel even more strongly about. I found a link on Facebook from a friend of mine who posted something up that was a short article written about a new video that the Mormons have released. And the name of this posting on this website said, Mormons declare war on masturbation in creepy new video. So I had to check it out. And oh my God, it is so creepy. It will blow your mind. First of all, to think that masturbation is something you shouldn't be doing in this day and age is so, I struggle to find the adequate word for it. It's so ludicrous, that would be one word I would put to it. So uninformed, so archaic, so unevolved, so out of touch. I could probably keep going, but you get my point. And it instills so much shame and guilt to the people who really think that this is the right way to be, that it blows my fucking mind that this is something that that large of a group of people, and you know, with that I mean the Mormon Church, that they would actually put up with that. It's idiotic. And it's been proven to be healthy. Okay, let me throw some stuff at you about this really cool article I found. This was written and posted up in early December of last year. Where this was found was a website called The Conversation. Now, this is medical professionals in Australia and the UK writing opinion pieces about things. And the article's authors were two doctors who teach at Sydney University, I believe. Let me double check on that. Yes, University of Sydney. So senior lecturers. So these people have doctorates. They may not be medical professionals, but they are fully, fully trained and knowledgeable in all of this stuff. And so this article is totally cool. It basically says that masturbation will help keep you healthy and happy, and goes on to let me count the ways, you know. For women, masturbation can help prevent cervical infections and urinary tract infections through a process called tenting. And this is the opening of the cervix that occurs as part of the arousal process. It stretches the cervix and thus the cervical mucus, and this enables fluid circulation, allowing cervical fluids full of bacteria to be flushed out. Good for your cervix. Masturbation can lower risk of type 2 diabetes. It can reduce insomnia through hormonal and tension release. It can increase pelvic floor strength through the contractions that happen through orgasm. For men, masturbation helps reduce the risk of prostate cancer. Masturbation can also improve immune functioning by increasing cortisol levels. It can reduce depression by increasing the amount of endorphins in the bloodstream. It can also indirectly prevent, this is a reach, but it can indirectly prevent infertility by protecting people from sexually transmitted infections that can lead to infertility. So you can't give yourself one of those infections if you're masturbating. And it's convenient. This is funny. There is one final benefit to masturbation. It's the most convenient method for maximizing orgasms. I love that. They list that as a health benefit. So there's also additional health benefits, including general health benefits, including reduced stress, reduced blood pressure, increased self-esteem, and reduced pain. From a sexual health point of view, it's one of the safest sexual behaviors. There's no risk of pregnancy or transmission of sexually transmitted infections. There's also emotionally no risk of disappointing a partner or of performance anxiety, and there's no emotional baggage. Oh my goodness. It can also be an especially good way to learn more about what your partner likes and to demonstrate to your partner what you like. Mutual masturbation can provide this. Open communication with a partner will improve your sex life and relationship, but it's also important for modeling communication skills for younger generations. And I love this last part. Talking about masturbation also has benefits, promoting sex-positive views in our homes and in society, including around masturbation, allows us to teach young people healthy behaviors and attitudes without stigma and shame. Parents and guardians who feel embarrassed or need extra guidance to do this, you hear it? Mormon Church should seek out sex-positive sources of information like the ones from respected universities. And there they have a link to University of Michigan, their website called University of Michigan Health System, Your Child Development and Behavior Resources. And they have a whole section on sexuality. I love all the dispelling of myths. There's a whole bunch of information about what's normal and what's not, about child sexual development and interests and how to talk to your kid about sex. But the ones dispelling the myths are awesome. It does not stunt your growth. It does not cause blindness. It does not cause deafness. It does not cause you to grow hair on your palms. It does not cause stuttering. You cannot die from it. It does not mean you will be promiscuous as an adult. It will not drive a person crazy. It is perfectly healthy as long as it does not interfere with relationships with friends and family or with doing other activities. So I'm going to read you something that I've read, I think, twice on this podcast, but wow, at this point in time, it really needs to be read again. This is something that Dan Savage said at the beginning of one of his podcasts, and it was so profound, and I just reacted to it so intensely that I transcribed it all down, and I'm going to read it to you here right now. This was from a podcast a couple of years ago in February of 2012. Okay, here we go. Abortion, contraception, homosexuality, it is all about, all three of those issues are about the non-baby-making sex that you're not supposed to be having. They don't want to bring the abortion rate down. They want to make sure that people who have abortions are punished for the having of sex without intending to have a baby by only being able to get the most dangerous and perhaps lethal abortion possible. They want abortions to be less rare than they are now, less rare than they are thanks to Planned Parenthood, but much more dangerous because they think those bitches who are having sex and don't want to have babies should be punished. And people who want to use birth control, they want to make sure that that is as difficult as possible because people who want to have sex without having babies should be punished. They want to throw obstacles in their way. People who are gay, they know, just as they know, that even in a world where abortion is illegal, like in Romania and Nicaragua, people are still going to have abortions. They know people are still going to be gay. But they want to make sure that we are punished. They want us to suffer. They want us stigmatized and discriminated against. The obsession isn't babies, despite what you may have seen on billboards on highways in red states. The obsession is sex. They are terrified of their own genitals and more so of your genitals. They're terrified of their desires and they wake up every day acutely aware that they could spin out of control sexually at any moment. They are barely hanging on because that's how we're wired, all of us. They can barely control themselves and they think that maybe if they assert control over you, they'll have an easier time controlling themselves. They want your choices to be as limited as they have made their own. And if you make different choices around birth control, around being with the people who you're actually attracted to, if you're gay or lesbian or bi, they want to see you punished. Because if you're allowed to make different choices, to have non-procreative sex, to use birth control, to be gay if you're gay, it really does make a mockery of the limitations they've placed on themselves. If you can do all those things and be happy, healthy, a contributing member of society and not miserable, they die a little inside. They get hurt. They get angry because they've told themselves that this is how sex is supposed to work. This is the way the world is supposed to work. And there you are living your life proving every day that it ain't the way it works. That that's not what sex is for. That you can live the life you're living and live it successfully. And you know what that does? That rubs their pitifully unfulfilling, fear-warped sex lives back in their own faces. And they hate you for that. They can't forgive you for that. Hence the desire to control you, persecute you, punish you. Because you're everything they want to be, everything they're wired to be, and nothing they're allowing themselves to be. Thank you, Dan Savage. This is such a perfect explanation about the whole scenario, how it all works. The thing that really blows my mind is if what they really want is people not to have sex, then wouldn't you think that they'd, you know, non-procreative sex, that they'd at least leave them masturbation as an out, for God's sake? And ha ha ha, for God's sake, right? That just comes right out of my mouth because I have no problem taking the Lord's name in vain. I think he's laughing about a lot of things, but he's pretty sad about this one. I think this is a very, very sad thing that's being done to young people, to older people. Oh, goodness. The emotional and psychological damage done by trying to make people think that masturbation is not okay is so fucked up. Because what happens is no matter what, people are going to masturbate, right? I mean, in this really creepy video, here's the really bizarre part is what they try and do is they try and liken a young man who's like addicted to porn to a wounded soldier on the battlefield, which I think is such a fucking disservice to veterans, to servicemen, to servicewomen. Oh, Jesus. And there we go again. Throwing the Lord's name out there. I am so good at doing this that I hope I'm not offending too many people out there, but not that I care in this moment. So in this creepy video, they do this thing where the kids, you know, in the glare of the computer screen, fixated on it, and they make him seem like he's this horrible person, and then all of his friends are a little too afraid to, like, save him, right? And then they go to see that, you know, they change this into the soldier on the battlefield, and he's laying there, and this guy wants to go rescue him, and his friend's going, no, 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 and holding him back. And then there's this dramatic rush out there to save his life and bring him back. And then they show back to the original scene where the kid's dressed normally, and he's at some kind of gathering, and there's young men and young women there, and they're talking and having a good time. It looks like maybe sort of a mellow party. And there's this look between him and the guy who saved him from himself, from the porn, from his hand, from his fucking jerking off, right? There is this moment that cracked me up at the towards the end of the video where these two guys share this look of, you know, it looked a little gay to me, I gotta say. But that's really the only part of it that was funny. It was some idiotic person in the Mormon church who's talking about how masturbation is bad and we have to be vigilant and we have to be warriors because this is evil and we have to help each other out. And so feel free to fucking fink on your friends and maybe even your family if you find them masturbating, if you know they are, because that's the evil. So, okay, what does this create? It creates a whole bunch of people who they're going to fucking masturbate anyway, right? They're going to feel guilty about it. They're going to hide it. So they have this whole part of their life they have to hide. But then there's also this weird culture that's going to rise up of people thinking on each other, right? I mean, so let's say that you have someone who you have a falling out with and you know they masturbate. Well, whereas before when you were kind of like, yeah, yeah, I do it too, but don't tell anybody, right? You may have even shared that confidence with them. Now it's like you can go to your bishop and go, you know what? Johnny fucking masturbates. I mean, you wouldn't use those words if you were Mormon, but you get my point. All right. Now, there's a man who's written a book about this. Daryl Ray, Sex and God. I'm quite sure it's an amazing source for anybody who wants to read more about this. I've read part of the book, haven't read all of it, and he's done a lot of research about it. And yes, shame and guilt are the result of this kind of bullshit. So yeah, Mormon Church, boo on you. You know, I put this up on Facebook and some other guy said, you know what? The Catholic Church has been having a total war against orgasms for like thousands of years. So you might want to kind of pay attention to that too. Don't really know much about the Catholic Church. Not sure I really want to at this point. All right. I've been talking at you for too long here. Let me see what else I have to talk with you about. No, wait. You know, I took a look at my notes and I'm not done yet. Here's why. Because these people, what happens a lot with people who really take these rules to heart is that women grow up never really knowing how they work sexually, and they don't even know that sex is supposed to feel good, and so they have these really awful sex lives with the guy that they end up marrying because the guy doesn't know anything either if he doesn't know how to please a woman. So sex can be this horrible sort of thing that you just do, probably giving rise to the whole thing about it's a woman's duty and that she doesn't enjoy it. Well, yeah, if you've never masturbated, if you know nothing about your body, the chances that you're really going to enjoy it are much less. The chances that the man you're with is going to know anything about how to please you is much less too. So eventually these people, though, they start to explore a little bit. Maybe they do their masturbation in secret. Maybe they watch a little porn. Who knows? But eventually they find out a few things. And some of them find their way to me because maybe they've watched something about pegging porn. Maybe the guys have started exploring parts of their body and they've done anal exploration. And so now they would really like to figure out how to do this. because I get people who find my site by putting in the keywords Christian pegging. Swear to God. Swear to God. So I've always thought that that was very strange, and I did write a little bit of an article about it. Because, but, you know, everybody out there does different kinds of sex. And yeah, Christians do pegging too. Maybe not Mormons, or the ones that do it that are Mormons are really, really hiding it. But these people are just so clueless about real pleasure. And they, I think the thing that's the hardest is maybe they're looking at something really different like pegging, but they don't have a clue about communication and openness and enjoyment in the bedroom with a loving partner. Oh, I just get so angry about religious psycho bullshit. Okay, now I'm really going to leave it alone. And here's what I'm going to move on to next. This isn't letter night, can you tell? Or letter podcast. This is me talking about what's been happening in my life. So here's another thing that happened. I was at the grocery store, and it was the health food store, actually. And I looked over, and there was this magazine, and it was called What Doctors Don't Tell You. Okay, that's interesting. But there, what caught my eye was that there was a headline that said, maybe you don't need that prostate surgery, or something like that. Okay, so I grabbed the magazine and decided that I would take it home and read it, because what I was really hoping it would address is BPH, which is benign prostatic hyperplasia. And this is commonly more known in terms of regular descriptive words as a swollen prostate. Swollen prostate is a problem because your ureter tube goes right through the middle of your prostate. Men are the only ones with a prostate. So what happens is urinary difficulties that manifest in a variety of different ways. But just as a general, putting it all together, it's difficulty in urination and strange urinary patterns and discomfort and things. So that's BPH, okay? Well, we know because of a study that Anaros did some time ago that, and it's an ongoing study actually, that prostate massage will help about 90% of the sufferers of BPH. One of the most common ways to treat BPH when it gets bad enough and it presents clinically, which means it has symptoms, is for a surgery to be done where I believe they use a laser and they carve out around the urethra, around the ureter tube, excuse me, and they make more room for the ureter tube so that the urine could come down unimpeded. So they're basically kind of like burning and carving some space around your ureter tube. I'm sure you can imagine the possible complications involved in this, but let's just not even go there. Well, this is done a fair amount of the time, and it's actually called, the acronym for it is TURP, T-U-R-P, and it's transurethral resection of the prostate. So, okay, in this article, on the cover, it said why you don't need prostate surgery, and so I snagged it, I took it home and read it, and it was actually, which they didn't inform me on the front cover, about cancer. Because when you open it up, it says, so you think you need ... surgery for prostate cancer. And I was kind of disappointed because I was really hoping that we'd be addressing the type of surgery that I just described, the TURP. So imagine my surprise to find TURP listed for the surgical options for prostate cancer, which is like, what? Because that's not correct. So the interesting thing is the article didn't mention BPH at all. So I sent him a letter. And I told him all this stuff that I've just been talking to you about. But, you know, I started to do some research and I found some interesting things. There was a pretty extensive study of over 3 million men in Denmark. And what they were doing is examining the relationship between BPH and prostate cancer. And the reason that they can do this is because they actually have this lovely database, health database that's been in place for a long time. So for like 30 years, they're able to take a look at these statistics. So what they found was a relationship that was correlative but not causational. And so What that means is they did find a relationship between BPH and prostate cancer. They found that clinical BPH, a man with clinical BPH, was associated with a 2- to 3-fold increased risk of prostate cancer. So when I say it's not causative, what I mean, it's not causation, is that not every man who has BPH is going to get prostate cancer, and not every man who has prostate cancer first has BPH. Still, the risk statistics favor having a much healthier, well, the most healthy prostate that you can get, right? So I wrote them and told them about this. And then I also said, you know what? Keeping in the theme of your magazine, which is what doctors don't tell you, another thing they're not going to tell you is about the study that was done with the prostate massage, helping with 90% of BPH guys' symptoms, right? And this is actually a study that was done by High Island Health. And High Island Health is the same company as Aneros. They have two completely separate websites, but they're the same company. And this device that Aneros sells was actually created to emulate a digital prostate massage. And it was funny because that the way that it's stated in there is it's like in the study is it says it was designed to emulate an in-office, okay, digital prostate massage. All right. I, for one, I'm going to step out there and say, you know what? I think it's time to have a step-by-step, and it's probably on the internet somewhere. This is what I did not research before I did this podcast, a step-by-step how-to of a prostate massage. I'm sure it's out there. I think it's time for that to come out of the territory of doctors, to make it a more personal thing so that there's less taboo and so that men have less stigma and avoidance of having it done to go to the doctor's office, right? Because no men like that, not at the doctor's office. And perhaps a partner would be more loving and tender. In fact, when some years ago, when I first started my blog, I was actually doing research about this. And one of the things I found deep in there, because if you start trying to research prostate massage, you get a whole lot of crap thrown at you about how dangerous it is. And I think that's largely having to do with Big Pharma and the AMA trying to scare people into not helping themselves so that they can sell them more medicine. I mean, it sounds all, you know, conspiracy theory and all that, but it's been shown that prostate massage helps BPH. It absolutely has. So why doesn't every single MD who is presented with BPH symptoms recommend that to begin with? Why is that not the very first thing recommended? No, it's medications, and it's not an infection. It can become an infection if the urine stays in there too long and it's unable to get through. It can become a bacterial infection or urinary infection, but that's usually not the problem to begin with. The initial problem is the swelling and the difficulty in urination, and that's before it gets to be something like an infection. So, yeah, I just don't get why doctors aren't more clued into this or more willing to recommend prostate massage. And, of course, you know, the Aneros device is designed to be able to do this yourself. So if you don't have a partner who's willing to lovingly help you with a prostate massage, then you can use the Aneros device. But to go back to what I found when I was looking on the internet, I did find a mention that in Korea, it is not unusual at all. In fact, it's usually a matter of course. Now, I don't know how true this is. I don't know any people who have grown up in Korea that to corroborate this with, but it's not unusual for mothers to teach daughters how to do prostate massages, to give them that information for them to keep their husbands' prostates healthy when they grow up and get married. So that is information that is supposedly passed on from mother to daughter. I think that would be a fabulous thing to do for people in this country too. I know that there's all kinds of weird stigma shit about asses and things, but isn't prostate health a little more important than that? Goodness. So, and the good things about this article was that they really challenged the idea that radical surgery was necessary for a lot of prostate cancers because that they were so slow growing that they would never kill you anyway. And that the, what is that acronym, the PST or whatever test they do to try and determine if you do have prostate cancer, and it's a measurement of a certain type of cell, and that is notoriously inaccurate. It's like inaccurate 30% of the time, I believe is what they said. So it was nice to expose some of these things. So I do really, I admire what this magazine's trying to do to empower people to make their own choices and to tell you the things that doctors don't. But I felt like I had to write him this letter and kind of set him straight so that it would correct their view that the TURP surgery was for prostate cancer, which it is not, but also to put a vote out there and to inform them that the BPH treatment is something that can be done with prostate massage as opposed to the TURP. All right, did you follow all that? When I get excited about stuff, man, can I talk. You notice that? I do. This next subject actually is a letter that was written in. Somebody wrote in and asked me about the rodeo harness. And this is sort of like an underwear or a panties type of harness, if you will. And they're fabric and washable and all that kind of stuff. And this guy wanted to know if they were double-ended dildo compatible. And first of all, I went to their website and looked and looked and looked and really couldn't find anything. So A, fire the marketing person. He did email them and he got back a response that recommended one of their harnesses called the Truck, and they spell it interesting way, T-R-U-K-H. The Truck harness is compatible with double enders, according to Rodeo, and that harness actually is the one with dual holes in it to accommodate a penis and a dildo or two dildos. And it does say when you open up the description of it, recommended for Fieldo or Share. Now, the other information that they gave this guy who wrote in with the email is that any of the other harnesses that are designated PKG would also be compatible for a double ender. Okay, so I go back to their website, and I look and I look and I look, and I can't find fucking PKG anywhere. So again, here's what I say. Fire their marketing person. Sometimes I swear to God, I should have been in marketing. Okay, so the rodeo, yes, step up your game, because you know what? There's a lot of people out there who do pegging who use doubles. This is a big, big part of the pegging world is the use of double-ended dildos. And if your website can't even give people good enough information to know if your harnesses are compatible, you're missing out on a lot of business, I gotta tell you. Okay, so let's talk about donations. You guys sent me in a couple of donations, and I'm so thankful and so, I feel honored and, I feel lots of things. I feel appreciated. I feel so lucky to have you guys as my fans that you're supporting my trip to DC, because we're getting there and we're getting pretty close. It's really exciting. Last week we had a total of $685. And this week I had two donations. One was a generous $50 donation from Wendell. And that Wendell got a free year subscription to my top of the line. And then I got a $15 donation from Clifford. Thank you so much, Clifford, for the generous donation. Thank you both so much. That gets me closer to my goal. So my grand total now is $750. So we are only $250 away from Ruby getting to DC. And I'm starting to get really excited about it and starting to plan which sessions I want to go to and do a little bit more planning on the ass panel moderation. I did see CT, I mentioned, at the XBiz conference, and he was asking if we were going to do the same questions or not. We'll probably mix it up a little bit because Lucas is a new addition to the ass panel. And Lucas and I have not connected yet by phone, but we will very soon, and I'm looking forward to that. So if you're listening, Lucas, not likely, but if you are, dude, I will get on the phone with you soon. So we're going to leave it there tonight. You can leave your questions at 805-500-6544. Stories, orgasms, questions, whatever you like, 805-500-6544. You can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page I would love a thumbs up on. You can subscribe to my blog, which has sexy pictures and articles and things that never show up in my podcast. And my podcast is on iTunes, but it can also be listened to directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com. If you are looking for a source of pegging information that does not mix in any of the other fetishes like impact play, BDSM, feminization, domination, submission, all of those things, you can go to pegging101.com. That is a informational resource, no advertising, no fetishes for the folks who are just starting to explore their sexuality and really just want pegging information. And let's see. If you can go to iTunes and rate my podcast and write me a cool review, that would be totally rocking. Thank you for downloading and listening. And as always, happy pegging.